Today's message, though, is spiritual GPS or spiritual guidance. And I think that the one major thing that we all have in common is that the Spirit is there to help us. That God is actively watching in our lives for an ability to intervene. And the parakletos is the Greek word for the one called alongside to help. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, when he's saying, you know, I'm going to send my Spirit and he's going to be a power to you. He's going to be a power, the most powerful thing, you know, in you, to you, in you. Then that gives us an ability that we did not have previously, having accepted him by faith. And that's the another thing that we absolutely need to come to terms with is that many of us are challenged, but we do not have the resources to succeed. Through faith in Christ, we do. Amen? Right? Through my past experience, through all my knowledge, through everything I tried, and all 879 avenues I tried to do it by myself, all led down one track, right? But not the successful track. The one time I began to become successful was only in faith through Christ. Not that I still don't learn. Right? Amen? Right? Not that we still don't need to be humble. But I'm going off track. My introduction is 2 Peter chapter 1:1-11. I want to read this to you guys just to give you a taste of the direction we're going. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who have received faith by the same kind of ours, by the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partners of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now that, for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness, love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful into the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Amen. Such a powerful message. I want love jumping back when verse 4, and he says, for by these he granted to us magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And you know, something we're going to end up hitting on in here later on is just the fact that, you know, carnally from the gate, we were just simply not right. And I can relate to that, right? Because I lived not right for so long. So when I look back and the Bible's like, you know, by nature, you weren't right. And it makes sense to me. You know, I grew up in a home and the things that I lived through and went through absolutely was not right. I can tell you that right now. So it makes sense to me to understand that. But he says when God comes into your life, you can escape the corruption that is in the world. Escape. When you guys think about that, when you think about escaping, what do you picture? You know, I picture the movie, the guy's running, the door's coming down. He's never going to make it, he's going to smash him, but somehow he makes it through and it shuts, right? You know what I mean? He escaped. Like that's the kind of idea that I wonder. It's just like we're running around in this world and we're trying to function against all these different temptations, all these different past experiences, all this stuff we truly haven't really let go or forgiven in our own lives, the lives of others, the unforgiveness we carry, the frustration and all the, and then coupled that with the microwave, I need it right now generation, then I can't wait 7 more seconds. And you put our whole generation together and you look out there, it's like, heck yeah, I've escaped. If I could sit here in peace today, I've escaped, amen, right? Because there's not a lot of peace outside. It's just not, but partakers, you know. And another funny thing is, and Paul, Peter is an apostle, and by definition, the apostle is one sent with a special message. One sent with a special message. But I would argue that each and every single one of you guys are apostles in that you have a special message as well. Do you not? How many of you guys got testimonies in here? I was here. God came into my life. Now I'm here. Amen. I want to be here, right? I know I want to go here, but I'm a little bit here just because of my faith and God working in my life. Amen. Yes or no? True or not true? That's a testimony. Therefore, you have the ability to share that testimony. When I was exposed to my faith, it moved me forward. Amen? So the requirements should be have been personally acquainted with our Lord's ministry by baptism, his ascension, and able relationship to the account of redemption, which is your testimony. And that's what I said. Each and every single one of us have a testimony today. I was here. God came into my life. I'm here. I'm hoping to go there with the Lord in my life. Amen. Right? That stands true. No matter who you are, how old you are, what you've been through, every single one of us is standing here. I don't know how many of you guys said, I'm still here today. I got a shot. Amen. That's a fact. So Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who has received the same kind of ours by righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Righteousness, the Hebrew word tzedek, the Greek word dikia, simply means purity of heart and the rectitude of life. Now, we understand that only Christ could do this. Amen? Right? Only Christ could come and live his entire life without sin. Not how many of us in this room have done it so far? Anybody? Toby, get out. 5 minutes is not bad. That's a start, right? Amen. If we could say something positive, that's a start. some of us have gone 5 hours. They're the elders of the community. Amen. But you think about the intention of the Greek word means that there's a purity of the heart, and I like this because. How many of us still hear our consciences speaking to us today? Right? Yes or no? Right? But we're called to listen to those consciences. When we're out and about, we're doing something, your conscience goes, now you know you shouldn't be here doing this right now. Right? Turn around, go the other way, go the other way. You know, we need to tune in and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you guide me off of this one. Right? Not shut it off. But the rectitude of life, the being and doing right. And that's the thing that we kind of talked about a few weeks ago was we don't do right because it's convenient. Amen. How many of us understand that doing the right thing simply is not always convenient? It's not easy. Amen. It's not. We do it because that's the right thing to do. Amen. We do the right thing because that's the right thing to do. Right? We don't have to think about it. We don't have to justify it. That's the whole problem. If I let my mind get in the gate, then it starts telling me why I shouldn't have to be doing it. Right? Justifying this, justifying that, justifying. Well, kick that out. Is it the right thing to do? Amen. I don't need to think about it anymore. Right? The being and doing right. When you know it's in your heart and you know it's the right thing to do, you don't have to justify it. Just go. Amen. Don't hold yourself back. Do that next right thing. Amen. Righteousness. That's so important. Jeremiah, the Lord is our righteousness. Genesis 8, the intent of a man's heart is evil from his youth. So the Bible knows that we're born in sin, born into captivity of sin, and then need a Savior from this. Amen. So by design, we came into the world in sin. Amen. We did this. So naturally, I'm going to think that there's going to be some things about the word that don't quite, you know, line up. There's going to be some things with the word that I'm going to need to learn because, A, I wasn't of the word. I was of the world. But the Bible says washing of the water, transforming your mind by the washing of the water of the word and by renewing your mind daily by the washing of the water of the word, I believe is how it's truly stated. And what he's saying is the more we get exposed to the word, the more it enlightens us. And as it continues to enlighten and grow us, then we move in that direction with it. Amen. We're all in these different places in our lives and in different places in our faiths. But if we just accept right now where we're at and take that next step to move forward with Christ, we're all going the same place. Amen. The Lord is our righteousness. So the righteousness or justice of God is the divine and applied in the moral government and the domain of the law. So due to the grace in Christ, the perfect walk and atonement of the law, now we through him in faith receive justification. What is he saying there? He's saying that now that I've been exposed to Christ, I've had the baptism of Christ, I've been in the faith of Christ, I've administered my faith in Christ in me, that I can know for an absolute fact that I've been justified through his blood. Amen. Not what I've done, but what the Lord's done for me, for each and every one of us. And I know that many of us have heard justification stands for what? Justify. Justify. What's it, Bob?
Just as if I had not sinned.
Amen. When I get into that word and the Lord comes into my life, he takes away all that past nasty stuff that I've been holding on to for so long and cleans that plate up. Amen. So I can wake up tomorrow knowing that I'm a new creature in Christ. That's an amazing feeling, right? Like many of us have been locked up so many times. Many of us had different chains on us. And we just, you know, all those things. But many of us are waking up tomorrow and we're thinking to ourselves, have you still got them chains on? Amen? But we don't. Not if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, he cleaned that up. Now it's time to move forward. I got to stop looking backwards. Amen? Well, we said the other day, when you're driving a car, if you're staring in the rearview mirror, how long are you going to go forward before you hit something? Right? Well, if we're driving our spiritual life, if we're making our moral decisions, we're living our life today, looking in that rearview mirror, what are we going to do? We're going to run into something. But we don't need that. We just need that spiritual GPS in front of us, and we just get on that road and start tracking. Amen? So, just as if I had never sinned. Grace and peace, point two, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessings of grace and peace to you. Okay, but why in the knowledge of God did he ask? And everything is from his grace, what God may be free to do, and indeed what God does or intends to do for those that us that are lost. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, God's wisdom is a mystery. In Ephesians 3:4, it says, the mystery of Christ. In 6:19, the mystery of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 3:9, it's a mystery of faith. In Psalm 139:6, he says, your knowledge is too wonderful for me. In Ephesians 3:19, it's treasures of knowledge. Proverbs 24:5, knowledge increases power. Why is this all a mystery? Why does he write about this mystery? Amen? Why? Why do we think that he does? Is everything's a mystery? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think that God designed his word majestically in that the more we spend time with it, the more he lights our light bulb off. And I know those of us that have been in the word many times, we've read the same thing 56 times. And on the 57th time, a light bulb went ding, and I got it. Amen? That's the mystery unveiling itself to you personally by spending time with the word in Christ. Amen? That's amazing power. Everything's a mystery. But what do you do with mysteries? What does Scooby-Doo do with mysteries? He solves them. Amen. What do you do with mysteries?
You're going to solve them.
How do you solve the mystery of the gospel?
Keep reading it.
Amen. Keep reading it. That's how we do it. We spend time in our faith. And then it no longer becomes a mystery because it says the mystery is revealed to those that are called by his name. Amen. That's how the mystery is revealed. So, 1 John, the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Seeing that his divine power has granted us in everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So it's action in divine authority. And when I think about this, is being in position. Being in position. The more that we're in position, the more that we activate our faith, the more God's going to pitch those plays to us. Amen? The harder we work on staying in line, the harder we work on walking in our faith, the more in position that we're going to be, the more we're going to be able to take action. Because I can't take action if I'm not in position. And that's one thing that I got to look at myself. I don't have to feel bad about myself. But if I'm aware of there's things going on with me that I need help with, I need to, A, begin to seek that help by how? Either getting with my brothers and sisters, being honest with God behind closed doors on my knees, and saying, God, here I am. This is all I have. You know me anyway. I can't hide it. Right? Can we hide anything from God?
No.
Okay, so if I can't hide it, then let's talk about it then. God, here I am. This is what I think's wrong with me. You're probably aware of many more things that I'm aware of, right? Right? I mean, right? Right? I'm sure of that. But I can put it on the table and just say, hey, I don't know what the answer is today. But I know that you can guide me to that answer. I know that you can get me there. And if I spend time with my brothers and sisters in Christ, they can help encourage me as well. Amen? For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, or liar, seeking, did you say?
And liar.
Yeah, and a liar, seeking that he may devour. Now, in Genesis, it says that the devil was more crafty than you, right? So, A, okay, I have an adversary that's probably much more wise than I am, amen, because I'm just a man. You know, God said himself that my ways are greater than your ways, so much of the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways greater than your ways. So it's like, okay, God is massively more amazing than I am. That's why I serve him, A, amen, right? Amongst the other 753,236 reasons, one reason is because he is the I am, amen, right? He's amazing, he's above me, right? I don't have the knowledge that God has, and my humility needs to stay and know that. But another thing is that he kind of, you know, definitely played a role in creating who Lucifer is, right? And he's going to be around, has been around, and is going to be around much longer than me, right? Right, yes or no? Right? He's been there since the point of time. Do you think he's playing checkers or chess? Right? And do you think he's a better chess player than you? Some of us have been down for a long time would argue, but I'm going to say right now, the devil's going to outplay you every time. Amen? If you sit down to play with the devil, he's going to outplay you today. He's going to outplay you tomorrow. He's going to outplay you next week. And every single time you think you're going to capture a bishop, he's got your queen. I'm going to let you know right now that he ain't playing, and he's playing for keeps.
Amen?
Amen? That's a fact. And we don't think about that all the time because what did I think about? I need to go to work. I need to take care of the kids. I got to feed dinner. It's 8 o'clock. I'm still not home yet. I know I'm getting yelled at tonight. Right? All these other thoughts are going on, but I'm not thinking that there's a roaring lion out there to chew me alive, especially as I make my steps closer to Christ. Now I'm on his radar. Right? So isn't it logical that there's going to be challenges in my life? Isn't it logical that there's going to be more temptations in my life? Because the devil don't want me to go to Christ. He don't want me free. Right? Amen. This is a serious, serious game. That's a very serious, with very serious outcomes. And that's reality. That's not me fire and brimstone coming down, but there is a reality to the end. And we're either, what does Donnie say? Some of us are going to be in the smoking section. That's a very polite way to put it. But I'm just telling you, he's right. So, for this, now for this reason also, applying all diligence. Like, what do we do? Now that we know this, what do we do? You know, we're under attack. Like, we know we're under attack. We got to fight ourselves. We got to fight our past experiences. We got to fight everything we've been through. And now, we're under attack. Amen? So, it's sounding great. And he says, okay, so, for thou this reason also, applying all diligence, this is all my effort, in your faith supply moral excellence, that's virtue, power, strength, and ability. Where does my power come from?
God.
Amen. So who gives me my abilities? And then I'm full of strength. Now I'm strong. Amen. Virtue and moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. Now Proverbs 1:17 says, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now those of us that have come here know that. Amen. But there's a vast community of people out there that have no idea that the very first step towards understanding God is coming to God and recognizing God for who He is.
Amen.
Amen? The first step of God is understanding the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's very important. And in your knowledge, self-control. Here we go. Who's guilty of this? Self-control. Anybody? Self-control. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, inconcilable, malicious, gossipers, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All these are signs of lack of control. Now, when I think about that, and I realize that I myself fall victim to these things from time to time, the key is to repent and get it out of my life. Amen. Like, we're human. We're human, right? We're like little kids touching the stove. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. But when the conscience lights up, and if it's retrospect conscience, then we listen. Amen. And we grow. So Jude 13 talks about this, about not listening and not going and not following the right direction. He says, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. So back to verse 6 is self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. Now, perseverance is duty or privilege of Christian steadfast and obedience. The ability to demonstrate the gratitude and the love in Christ. Okay, now here it is. How many things, how long could we sit here tonight and say what we're thankful for? Right? I know a lot of times when I start getting frustrated, I can think to myself, well, what am I grateful for? What can I be grateful for? Right? And I always said, I woke up today, my kids are alive. Right? I ate today. I got clothes on. I'm still here. I'm breathing. There's oxygen. I'm thankful for that. Anybody else thankful for oxygen? Yeah. Or no? Right? Because we're going to be thankful for that, right? I mean, like we could draw it all the way down as far as we can to understand that we have everything we need today. Amen? We may not have everything we want, but we have everything we need. So the very least I can be is thankful for what God has been in my life. So if I'm thankful, then I need to demonstrate my thankfulness by appreciating those things. Right? Appreciating those things. How do I show that I'm thankful for my family? I appreciate them. How do I show that I'm thankful for my car? I do the maintenance. Amen, right? How do I show that I'm thankful for this group? I show up. I participate, right? Right? Amen? When I'm thankful for something, I'm active in that something. And that's how I show that. And ultimately, the glory only goes to God. Amen? The glory can only go to God. But I'm thankful for that. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for my bottle of water today. Thank you, Lord, for Gonzalez cooking Easter. Right? Yeah. Right? Thank you, Lord, for Netflix once in a while. Right? Amen? It can be small, great, large, small. You know, we just got to be grateful for those little things. And understand that when we are grateful, we're demonstrating that gratefulness. And God says, okay, you're grateful with the water? Now you can have a monster. Right? Grateful. You know, you're grateful with that house. How about this house? You're grateful with that job. What about that job? Amen. You're grateful in that situation. What about this situation? And now all of a sudden I'm building my life on gratitude rather than being Yosemite Sam when the alarm clock goes off. Amen. Right? Because I've been that guy too. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. You know, it's 5 o'clock every day. It goes off. Anyways. So godliness in the Greek words, eusebia. So it's reverence and piety towards God because of his holiness. It's his virtue and the duty of bringing God's blessedness now and forever. It's just understanding that God is continuously blessing us now. He's going to bless us tomorrow. He's going to bless us next week. And he's just looking to just pass these blessings our way. We just got to stay in that position. So in spirit by angels proclaimed among the nations, believing in the world, taken up in glory, first in Christ, then in us. Amen. We're following suit. That's all we're doing is following suit. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. Micah 6:8 says to love kindness. And Acts 9:6 says acts of kindness. Luke 6:35 says he himself was kind. Proverbs says, teaching the kindness of her tongue, and kindness bringing favor. And in your brotherly kindness, love. 1 John 4:8. Anybody? God is love. I want everybody to memorize this verse today. It's the easiest verse we can memorize ever. God is love. Amen. 1 John 4:8.
God is love.
Amen. You memorized it. It's yours. All right. Now you've memorized the verse. So God is love. So when we think about that, God demonstrates his love. Romans 5:8, Hebrew word, I'm going to murder it. It's ahaba or agape, but it's the attribute of God. Some say that it cannot because he is the I am, and they get special revelation to what he truly is. But 1 Corinthians 13:13 says the greatest of all these practices is simply love. Amen. It's love. The more we live in that love, the more we share that love, the more we allow that love to work through us, the more we give that love freely to each and every single person that we come into contact to, no matter what they've ever done, what they look like or what they got, whether we know them or don't know them. Amen. They deserve that love. Amen.
Amen.
1 John 4:8. God is love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, that's a progressive, measurable outcome. That's exactly what we said about the testimony. I was here. God came into my life. I'm here. God's in my life right now. I want to go there. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Progressive, measurable outcome. He said, and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. But what shall we say there? Are we to continue to sin that grace may increase? Impulse may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Amen. Amen. And that's what I say to my defects today. That's what I say to my defects today, that in my faith, I always say that God said, how could I die to your sin, but yet you still live in it today? Amen. Right? So I want to take that power and I want to put that power in my life. I want to allow God to release me from those things. Amen. Does anybody believe he can do it other than me?
Amen.
Am I the only one that believes he can do that?
Amen.
How many people have been released in this room? Yes or no? Amen. That's right. So there's something here. Matthew 12, he says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who doesn't gather with me scatters. But therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent and be certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. How many of us are tired of stumbling? Amen. How many of us are tired of something? He said, if we practice these things and then we stay in that love, and love being the greatest of all. So if we don't remember one thing about tonight, we're going to leave in his love. We're going to wake up tomorrow in his love, and we're going to share that love tomorrow. Amen. He said, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he will abundantly be supplied to you. Amen.